Free Talk Live. That's right, it is Free Talk Live, and you are free to call in and talk live here on the airwaves. It's Mark with you.
Pecos Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
The number is 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE as in freedom. And we do this every night of the week from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern time. No matter where you are, we are here doing the program. So please call in, talk about whatever is on your mind, and let's jump into a topic that at this point I am pretty well obsessed with. I don't know if you guys are aware that there was another person shot in protests. I think this one was in Denver this week. Yeah, it just keeps
first
happening.
I'm hearing of it.
What's that?
First I'm hearing of it.
Yeah, this was, I guess, the person who was shot pepper sprayed a security guard, and the security guard shot him. I'm not entirely sure what's going on there.
Security guards generally only shoot you if you're messing up badly, unlike some other agencies.
I think the security guard, I think he also slapped the security guard. So I'm not claiming that, the deadly force is acceptable. I'm not here to go one way or the other on that particular issue. But I will say that violence is escalating towards this election. And there are suggestions that that's just the election will be just the beginning. Depending on what the results are and who's happy and unhappy with the results. I mean,
well, unlike most elections, there's I don't think there's any calling when the election will be over exactly, because there are so many people that are planning on sending in their vote this year that for once we can be pretty much certain that when they finish counting the in-person votes, we won't know who should be or shouldn't be the president.
As I understand it, you're supposed to have the votes in by a certain day for them to count. I mean, it's not like I can wait a year and then send my vote in and suddenly gets yanked out of office or something.
Actually, as long as it's postmarked before the due date, then it can be found a decade later and theoretically still counts.
I suppose. I mean, I don't know how that, from a practical standpoint, how they're going to make that work. But again, there's this whole mail-in voting because of COVID thing, and what's that going to look like? On one hand,
good question. It's really important to know that they have done extensive work to graph out what demographics are in what areas. So we don't trust I don't trust sending a dollar through the mail. Like an actual physical dollar, you've got to put it in a money order if you want to send it through the mail. And yet these votes, presumably have some value to some people.
And when you send cash, you don't write on the outside of the envelope, "This contains X dollars in cash," whereas a mail-in ballot is marked as a mail-in ballot.
Right. It's very clear what it is. It doesn't have, so if somebody wanted to steal it for whatever reason, say your postman worked a neighborhood where he knew the majority of people were Democrats and he's a Republican, or vice versa, you fill in. I don't particularly care. I'm not presuming that one side is more moral than the other. And I do presume that people think the stakes are quite high.
Mm-hmm.
And
although I feel like there's one party who is much, much more likely to mail in votes, both in general and especially in this election, and maybe this is just their setup to say that they actually won when they lose.
Well, I would say that, so the Democrats want more people to vote, which has always been their shtick.
And they want it to be as easy as possible. If you can't make it to the polling place, you don't need to vote.
Right. I mean, I don't know what else to say, but if you just don't have the time and the energy to make it to a location and you can't put together the skill set to get a government ID, I don't care, honestly. I mean, I've missed votes because I hadn't registered in time and done a variety of things, and I'm fine with that. And I'm okay with the fact that I missed it. And,
if you'd had your stuff together, you would have gotten that vote.
Right.
And you didn't, so you didn't.
Yeah, I didn't, so I didn't. And I voted absentee this go around, and I got to see what it was like at my household when we were voting absentee. And everybody's watching what everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that one person who was involved changed the vote that they would have made because they were being watched and things were being said.
It's also true that the person who sits around unemployed at home all day, probably the Democrat, has access to everyone's ballots if it's going to come in the mail before they do. So
I just think about this, like the college, you know, like what they called a college house when I was in college, you know, where it wasn't a fraternity. It wasn't a dormitory. It was simply a house where college students lived for a long time. If for whatever reason the town, the municipality, determined that you lived at this house, there's no reason. I know for a fact right now that I am registered to vote in two locations. Now, it's because the one location hasn't ceased to have me as a registrant. It's not my fault. I didn't do anything. They just didn't do it. They were in a system of transition, town clerk left and all that stuff, and it didn't get done. And I have no idea how long I'll be on their voter rolls. I'm not going to go there and vote, so there's no criminality that's involved, but I know that I'm on. So what if they send out a ballot to my previous address? What if that previous address had a whole bunch of people living at it? What if somebody lives there now who's like, oh, look at all these ballots from these people who don't live here any longer. I shall fill them out.
Yeah, I've got a post office box, and I am just wondering if I'm going to end up with a bunch of mail-in ballots that I didn't ask for.
And I just got a thing today that said, you are the victim of mail theft. And they said that I got some mail stolen. That doesn't make me feel real good about my ballot. Whereas I'm much more comfortable with the idea that when I walk in and vote and I drop it in the little wooden box, that it's getting counted. In fact, I've stood there and watched that whole process from beginning to end one day. Just stood in the room, watched people voting, chit-chatted with people, kept my eye on the box, and this was during the Ron Paul campaign when I actually cared.
I've stayed around for the results a couple of times, and you watch them start to finish, and they seem to do it properly.
Right. But it's the stuff that's unaccounted for, these mail-in ballots. These things disturb me. Anyway, all of this stuff's a foundation, right? Like, I have no faith in the American voting system right now, or little faith. And at some point, people are going to, when they get this kind of feeling, they may very well slip into this mindset of civil war like USA Today is talking about here. I have an article. It says the country's lost its mind. Polls warning of civil war. Violence shows deep partisan chasm over election. And I don't think it's going to be over at the election. So if the Democrats lose or win, or the Republicans lose or win, you're going to already we can see people are unhappy. Right. If the Democrats win or lose, even if it was legitimate win or loss, there's going to be people who are angry enough at the Trump supporters and white supremacy and God knows what else.
And it's hard enough to figure out whether it's a legitimate win or loss.
Right. And then with the Trump presidency, it's going to be even more difficult because he's already laid the foundations for muddying the waters as far as, hey, these mail-in ballots are legitimate and I don't know if I'm going to get out of office and concede. I'm sure he'd concede if he felt that the election was legitimately lost.
Mm-hmm.
But people aren't very good at determining what a legitimate loss is. I mean, if human history is any indication, we are bad at determining what a legitimate loss is. And, you know, I mean, you can talk to people right now about how they feel about the 2000 election 20 years ago, and passions will run high. I suspect they will run higher after this election, and what does that mean?
Well, and it was finally the candidates involved that called off that one, and that is not going to happen this year.
Right. Al Gore conceded.
Right.
Joe Biden has been told by Hillary Clinton not to.
And we all know Trump's not going to concede if he doesn't think this
He's
is
never
legitimate.
Conceded a thing in his life. 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE here on Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. Call in, talk about whatever's on your mind. It's Mark with you.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
The number, 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE, as in freedom. Before we get into this article here from the USA Today about the country losing its mind and the possibility of civil war, I want to tell you about Bitcoin.com. Bitcoin.com is, it's a website about the phenomenon that is Bitcoin and cryptocurrency. These things are actual huge leaps forward in technology towards peace. You cannot talk about war and division without talking about monetary policy, because monetary policy has been manipulated in such a way to advance war and division for centuries.
You can't afford a war without fiat currency, and that's been the case since at least World War I, probably since the American Civil War.
Wars have gotten more expensive. They certainly fought wars prior to fiat currency.
Nothing compared to the ones afterward.
But one thing that we could say is that, well, let's see. You kind of needed a king in order to go extract, specie, actual money of value from the peasantry. They didn't have it, but they did have grain and these sorts of things, bought and sold and a variety of stuff in order to finance wars. Anyway, I think it's fair to say that cryptocurrency advances peace, freedom, and personal responsibility. Bitcoin.com is a website all about this particular aspect of cryptocurrency. And I recommend you go there, find out about Bitcoin, check out their Getting Started section. If you're a longtime crypto user, check out the news.bitcoin.com. News.bitcoin.com will tell you all the latest news, and the headlines are great. It's useful. You can get on their RSS feed and get delivered the headlines. So it's bitcoin.com. Cannot recommend it enough.
And it's good to have a site to send someone to where they're, hey, I'd like to learn about this.
Right. They can buy, they can sell, they can mine, they can do whatever you want to do that has to do with cryptocurrency right there at bitcoin.com. The country's lost its mind. Polls warning of civil war, violence, deep partisan chasms over election. Washington, Ledyard King writing. Washington, Bill Fry, 61, is a supporter of President Donald Trump in rural Ohio, who doesn't share much in common politically with Matt Edelman, 29, a Joe Biden backer in Brooklyn, New York. Except this. They both worry about the legitimacy of the upcoming presidential election and fear an outcome that appears tainted could heighten the nation's already frayed psyche and exacerbate violence in the streets. So I guess what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is first ask yourself the question is violence going on in the streets? Because I think that is pretty clear.
And is an escalated amount of violence going on in the streets? Because in some places, there's always a sustained amount of violence going in the streets. It's easy to forget that in Keene or even Manchester.
There's always violence in the street, but it's not always about who's going to be elected.
Yeah, they usually just want
policy.
Your stuff.
Yeah, it's usually just straight up robbery or something like that. Maybe there's a political component or an issue.
Usually
component,
politically simple.
Yeah, to some extent. So now we do have violence going on the street. It is politically motivated. And what happens if more of it occurs? Is this sort of one of those kind of curves where it, shoots upward into something bad? I don't know, but I've been concerned about it for some time. They're
not
alone.
It's also interesting because it kind of indicates that people had a whole lot of faith in federal elections in the first place to be able to lose it.
I think that people are I think it's Trump, honestly. People aren't excited about Joe Biden. He sucks. He's sucked for a long time. Democrats don't like him. But they really hate Donald Trump, and they would take just about anything over him. And the people who love Donald Trump love him. They're really excited about him. I mean, if you can get just about every American to come up with some kind of opinion on Donald Trump. No matter what that opinion is. And thus, there you have a powder keg. Nobody's going to shoot anybody over Mitt Romney. Nobody's going to shoot anybody over John McCain. But over Donald Trump, they might just, is what it seems. Because Donald Trump has been painted as both the greatest of saviors and the most evilest of oppressors. Even Barack Obama, who was heralded as a savior, no doubt. Interesting title for a man who is responsible for the shelling of a hospital and killed, whose nickname was Drone Bomber, having fired more cruise missiles than all other Peace Prize winners combined. But
there's some selection bias in there, but well, the point stands.
What, that the cruise missiles?
Well, because most Peace Prize, I mean, maybe that's not been true for the past couple of years, but I imagine that most Peace Prize winners, maybe I'm just really wrong in thinking that most Peace Prize winners have something to do with peace aren't politicians.
They used to have a long-standing policy of not awarding the Nobel Peace Prize to anyone who is leading a military at war at the time.
Makes sense.
Yeah, well, at the time he was, I don't know that he was even in office.
Six wars or however many it was.
Yeah, I'm not sure he was even in office when he got the Peace Prize. The Peace Prize was sort of, hey, you look more peaceful than George Bush. Here you go, is what it seemed like to me. Anyway, very few people really considered Barack Obama to be an evil person, a bad person. It just wasn't going that direction. Some people thought that he was born in Kenya, which I suppose is possible. It doesn't seem likely.
Or a secret Muslim.
What's that?
Or a secret Muslim.
A secret Muslim, a gay man hiding behind, his beard of a wife. Whatever they thought, none of these things were bad enough to sort of pick up arms over.
Well,
but not literally Hitler.
Not literally Hitler. Relevant to his job, regardless of what you think his job should be.
Right. Anyway, they're not alone, those being the people that are worried about violence, like me. A new poll shows a large swath of Americans harbor deep reservations about the election results weeks before Election Day and are concerned about what actions people might resort to as a consequence. The YouGov poll of nearly 2,000 registered voters, and that's what we would call good enough as far as taking people, found that nearly half disagree with the idea that the election is likely to be fair and honest. So 47% of Americans, according to this YouGov poll, which is what they call
it. That's a really broad question, though. That can mean many things. Well,
correct me if I'm wrong, but is there anything that the government does that is less trusted than the mail? I mean, it's in the mail is a figure of speech for I'll get it to you eventually.
I hope it gets there.
And it may get there. I mean, and they took like the most important thing that people trust and they put it inside the thing that they trust the least.
Well, what's the thing they trust the most? The ballot?
It's the most important thing that they trust.
Important thing. So I would say that Americans, I met a lot of people that didn't trust voting beforehand.
Sure.
And I think that with all the stuff that's been floated surrounding this COVID thing, they trust it less now. I mean, you can go and you can vote at the polls, but somewhere, somebody's filling out a ballot for somebody who's mentally incapacitated, and they're going to send it in and cancel out your vote. 855-450-3733. It's 855-453.
News from news.bitcoin.com. Economist claims that value of U.S. dollar will descend by 35% in the next year, and the dollar is the most overrated major currency in the world today. U.S. Federal Reserve is actively working on turning the U.S. dollar into a digital currency. Bitcoin set a new record for time above $10,000 in value. Bitcoin.com is your source for getting started with cryptocurrencies, getting a wallet, buying Bitcoin Cash, mining, and all the latest cryptocurrency news at news.bitcoin.com.
Yeah! Free Talk Live. Call in, talk about whatever's on your mind. It's Mark with you.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
The number's 855-450-3733. It's 855-453. And we're talking about this USA Today article here that's suggesting that a civil war is possible. And that is a concern that many Americans have, I guess is what it's doing. And it's a concern that I have because I don't know how one starts. And I don't know how we define what a civil war is. I don't think we're talking military, rolled out against one side or the other. But there's a great deal of tension out there.
Usually civil wars have a government and another government. A presumptive government and another presumptive government.
Yeah, so if you're incompetent, it's a civil war. If you're incompetent, it's really just civil unrest.
So you have to make a few broad generalizations, but that's kind of what nations are, right? So do we have a group of city dwellers that prefer the Democrats over the Republicans and are angry at some level of subjugation? I would say, yeah, we've got that. That's a fair description. Do we have country dwellers who prefer the Republicans over the Democrats and fear an unfair election and thus a form of subjugation?
Yeah, but I'm very skeptical about the possibility of there being sufficient leadership on the Republican side to carry out a civil war, to be honest.
Do you mean a military leadership?
Sure. For example, I have no problem believing that there would be sufficient unity under the Democratic Party leadership to carry out a civil war. But the Republican Party leadership isn't sufficient for anything like that right now.
Well, I don't know. Maybe you're helping me formulate how this could work. But if you think that the Democrats are sufficiently organized, then could the military be used to quell that organization if they're violent, that violent organization?
It'd be very difficult right now because of the current commander in chief. Now, post January, maybe.
Well, hold on. So the military is by and large Republican. Military leadership. So military enlisted men vote about 50-50, like the rest
and
of us do.
We always kind of work off the assumption that they're going to tell the foot soldiers exactly what they're doing and why. That's not how it usually works. They don't, they don't tell the military that goes to Afghanistan, hey, we would really like to preserve our status as world reserve currency, so why don't you go kill a bunch of kids? They don't tell them that. They're like, there are some terrorists. They blow up our buildings. Like, that guy did it in a hut. There's no reason why they would magically become truthful for a domestic uprising and say, these people.
But it's going to be pretty easy to tell that you're on American soil. And I think there are a surprising number of...
They're going to lie to them about who their targets are.
Posse Comitatus was retired under the Bush administration. Mm-hmm. So military can operate on U.S. soil. But
legally.
The reason that you have boots on the ground, the reason you need infantry is to hold ground. The United States government doesn't need to hold the United States. It already has it. No one's disputing the land. So I would say, I'd ask this question is, do we have the ability to run computerized warfare in so much as we can, have drones to do targeted bombings and assassinations? Do we have the ability to basically, take down people's internet en masse, a city's internet, if that's what they needed to do? I think that, I don't know what it would look like. And I don't know how many bodies we're talking about here either. I don't know. And I'm not.
So potentially the very first robot war.
I'm not rubbing my hands over, hoping that this occurs. I'm quite the opposite. But I see a formula for something that could look like a civil war, civil unrest. I don't know what it would look like, and I don't know what the outcome would be, and I don't know what else to say. But let me go through some of these statistics here. This is from the YouGov poll. 2,000 registered voters found that nearly half think that the election – well, basically, the election is – they disagree with the idea that the election is likely to be fair and honest. So they are basically saying – this is double negative here. The election will not be fair and honest. And slightly more than half, so instead of 47%, 51% won't generally agree on who is legitimately elected president of the United States. So they're not saying that they won't, but they won't say that there's a general consensus on who is legitimately elected president of the United States. The online poll was conducted October the 1st and 2nd and has a margin of error of almost 3 percentage points. So basically, somewhere near half of Americans do not expect the election to be fair. And do not expect the outcome to be accepted. That's bad news.
And if you don't think that the outcome will be, you know, obvious and accepted, then you're a lot less likely to accept it yourself.
Right. I mean, you know, at this point, do I think the election is going to be fair? Hell no, I don't. I didn't think they were fair to begin with. I was surprised to see Trump win. I know the Democrats were surprised to see Trump win. You can see pictures all over the internet of surprised Democrats. And are they working to
wailing
make sure that doesn't
to the heavens?
Yeah. Are they working to make sure that that doesn't happen again? Yes. If they are working to make sure that that doesn't happen again, are some of them on either side willing to participate in nefarious activity? Absolutely.
Nefarious activity in politics? Perish the thought.
In addition to a YouGov poll, another YouGov poll here, 1,500 voters found that 56% said that they expect to see an increase in violence as a result of the election. More than half expect to see an increase in violence as a result of the election. This question is a margin of error of 4.2% percentage points. So, again, basically that same half of Americans, they don't believe the election is going to be fair. They don't believe people are going to accept the result. And they expect to see an increase in violence as a result of the election. Now, I'm not saying that there's going to be civil unrest, except, yeah, there's going to be civil unrest.
There is civil unrest now.
Right. I mean, how much more? And does it go from, like, how does it multiply? Does it go from one shooting a week to two shootings a week to four shootings a week to eight shootings a week? Like, what does it look like?
Until it's enough to have popular support for a government overreaction, which it's hard to overreact to a riot, but it can be done.
But right now you have government agents that were sent out and they were disappearing people. Just very recently, they were going and they were grabbing people without arrest, with civil rights violations, a whole variety of things that were going on. And look, in war, you don't worry about civil rights violations.
But they were doing it to the rioters. They weren't enacting general totalitarianism.
Sure.
Using the riots as an excuse.
And I wouldn't expect that the general totalitarianism would occur in the vast majority of the United States. But the vast majority of the United States doesn't have a large population. In population centers, it might.
If you're abducting random leaders of protests, that's pretty darn totalitarian.
Well, were they abducting random leaders of protests, or were they abducting random leaders of riots? Because those are two very different things.
There is a very blurry line between those two.
No, there's not.
No, there really is a very blurry line between protest and riot in this particular case.
A protest is asking for something. A riot is when you go and break things and steal things and hurt people.
Protests are very frequently demanding something rather than asking for it. I mean, so...
But if you just say, I demand X, and that's all you do...
Okay.
You're asking for...
Well, so for one thing, like in Portland, I know that what would usually happen is that you would have a protest until about 9 or 10 o'clock.
P.M.?
P.M. And then at 9 or 10 o'clock, that protest would morph partly from a shift of people there and partly from a shift of attitude, but it would change from a protest into a riot.
And that's exactly...
But that means there are two different things if it can change from one to the other.
Well, the fact is that we have been led to believe that peaceful protesters are setting buildings on fire by some in the media. And there certainly have been peaceful protesters, and there certainly have been burning buildings. And I don't know who's doing what, but, it doesn't look good. 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. What do you think? Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. The number is 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE as in freedom. And we're reading a story here from USA Today about Americans' concerns surrounding, a peaceful transition of power coming up here in this election. I think a lot of people are waiting to see what happens before they really know what to do. I mean, you don't want to participate in some sort of violent uprising if the result was going to be what you wanted it to be in the first place. So, it's a It's a concern. The number 855-450-3733. I want to tell you about Freedom's Phoenix. It's a liberty-oriented news aggregation site. Do you want the newest and freshest stories and perspectives on current events from those who value liberty? Freedomsphoenix.com has it. Their daily dispatch, which I get, by the way, and it's twice daily now, is the best way to stay up to date on science, technology, historical findings, liberty news, government overspending, and the rise of the police state. Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. That's freedomsphoenix.com. And as an endorsement, I get probably 200 emails a day. And most of them, you're lucky if I read the subject line before I delete it, because I got to get through and do the stuff that I got to do. Nobody pays me for looking at the emails that I get. However, I always read freedomsphoenix.com from front to, you know, top to bottom. So there you go. Freedoms with an S, phoenix.com. Back to the article. Now, if you'll remember, this article is one of those written with a couple of people invited. So here's a voter. His name's Fry. Fry and many other Trump supporters. For Fry and many other Trump supporters, the concern over the election's legitimacy is tied to the largely unproven, with a link, claims Trump has raised about potential fraud involving millions of mail-in ballots that already have begun to pour in to election offices around the nation.
Now, what I've seen on that is that while there's not a huge amount of voter fraud that does happen in general anyway, it is much higher in mail-in voting. But mind you, that's a difference of like it goes from like 1% to 4% or something like that.
Well, 4% will decide an election in certain battleground counties. And this basically puts into the hands of one mail carrier, in some cases, some of the most important votes. And
that's one thing. I mean, every step of the way, whether it's just someone opening your particular mailbox while you're not home, the mail carrier, just every single step of the way from when you put it in to when it gets counted, they're just so, it's just such terrible security.
Right. So the difference between an absentee ballot is what they call chain of custody. Basically, I had an absentee ballot this year. I faxed a request to the government of the Commonwealth of Northern Marianas Islands asking for my ballot. And pardon me, they sent it to me. I'm off island because it's a FEMA declared emergency. And when it stops, I'll be back. But they sent me my ballot. I filled it out. I put it in the way they asked me to. We slid it back into one of those blue mailboxes, not the thing at the end of the driveway. Now, remember, a lot of Americans can't necessarily make it to the blue mailbox. If they can't make it to a polling place, or they can't put together the skill set to get a driver's license or a government form of ID, then how in the world are they going to make it to a mailbox? I don't know.
Well, and even then, I mean, that is still a point of vulnerability. I mean, like I said, there is a huge tendency for people in certain areas to vote certain ways. So if you oppose that particular way that this area votes, I mean, what's to, you know, keep you from putting a hose in that blue mailbox that everyone uses? Apart from it being a federal crime.
Well, what do you mean put a hose? Like a water hose?
Yeah.
And just drenching everything and making all the mail useless?
Yeah.
Yeah, certainly could happen. Yeah, anyway, it's a difficult situation, and I don't trust this mail system, and I don't I was explaining the difference between an absentee ballot and a mail-in ballot. A mail-in ballot, on the other hand, is sent out to presumably every voter in the given area to the address that they have listed on their ballot, with the hopes that they will return it, and the hopes that somebody who finds it doesn't fill it out and return it for them. Some Americans have lived at the same place for 40 years. This system will probably work for them. Some Americans have moved every 2 years of their entire lives, and you can't presume to know where people are going to be. I know that currently that my name is on the voter rolls in a town in which I haven't lived for some time. So there you go. The concern of the election, that have already begun to pour into election offices around the nation. We would be foolish not to at least accept that it's a real thing that happens sometimes. And I just worry it's going to happen in a greater numbers this year, Fry said, a Marine veteran who owns a dental management company in Ohio. And lots of my friends think the same thing. Lots of Americans, as mentioned here earlier, with basically half of Americans thinking that, according to this poll, they disagree that they think that the election is unlikely to be fair and honest. They think that the legitimacy of the election is liable to be questioned generally, and that they expect to see an increase in violence as a result of the election. So, you know, I don't disagree with Mr. Fry here. For Edelman and the other Biden supporters, the worry is that Trump's unrelenting criticism of the mail-in ballots and his refusal to agree to a peaceful transition of power if he loses is the proof that he'll stop at little to reverse what Edelman believes to be an electoral defeat, given polls showing that Biden with a significant lead nationally. Now, I'm more interested in Biden's lead in states as opposed to a national poll because, yeah, Hillary won the national vote and Trump beat her in, you know, Electoral College. So national polls don't matter. I don't care what people in Hawaii and California think.
And even state by state, I mean, she was leading those polls and didn't win.
There's only a handful of states that really matter, for at least for polling purposes.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, if you live in a state that is thoroughly red or thoroughly blue, then you might as well vote for the Libertarian because, you know, your state's going to go
well,
the direction it goes.
Well, that was Walter Block's suggestion for last election. If you live in a purple state, vote for Trump. If you live in a red or blue state, vote for whoever it was.
Walter Block claiming the banner of libertarianism and often making controversial claims.
Well, that's kind of his thing, defending the indefensible, you know.
Well, it certainly seems like a reasonable suggestion in that case. I mean, if you really like one candidate over the other and you live in a swing state, then it's a lot more reasonable to vote the lesser of two evils than if you live in a state that you know which way it's going. You may as well vote your conscience.
Yeah, voting becomes a lot more morally complex when you live in a purple state, which New Hampshire is one.
Voting becomes morally complex if you live in a purple state. Can you?
It becomes more morally complex when you live in a purple state, at least for, I mean, specifically for presidential elections and in elections where you have an R, a D, and an L.
Okay.
So an actual L.
An L being
not
a libertarian.
LP. I mean, they're going to be listed as LP, but an actual good candidate who has no chance of winning. Because if you live in a thoroughly red state or a thoroughly blue state, it's really easy to be like, well, this is what the result's going to be. It's a foregone conclusion. I already know. So I'm going to vote for the anarchists just as a F you to the system. If you live in a purple state, your vote might matter for some things. So it becomes so do I vote for the quote right person who's not going to win and lose the election, or do I vote for somebody who's evil? But
you know, you can vote for one person and root for another, because the vote is so mathematically insignificant when we're talking about a president. I mean, you take your least populous state, that would be a purple state, and I don't know which one it is, but New Hampshire's in the running for that.
It might be New Hampshire.
Yeah, New Hampshire's in the running for that. I believe it was the closest as far as ballots. It swung for Hillary, but only barely in this 2016 election. I think it was only 1,500 votes or something to that effect, which we know that Florida was 500 votes separating back in 2000, and that was quite controversial. New Hampshire wasn't controversial. Nobody seemed to care. But it could have gone the other way. But 1,500 still isn't one. And one is all the votes that you get.
There's probably at least 1,500 people still in the Porcupine community in New Hampshire. We could swing the election by either not voting or effectively not voting.
What is effectively not voting?
Voting for
Joe Jorgensen
or, you know, your cousin or Phil, because we have write-ins in New Hampshire. So
people
anything
do,
other than the two.
Yeah, people do vote for, you know, Mickey Mouse and these sorts of things. And those votes could go someplace else, changing the result. But, you know, they're their votes and they get to decide. 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE here on Free Talk Live.
New York Times and Wall Street Journal bestselling author Larry Correa comes the latest chapter in the epic military fantasy saga of The Forgotten Warrior, when the Grand Inquisitor perverts the law in his genocidal plot to kill every man, woman, and child in the Untouchable cast. Only the traitor, Ashok Vidal, and the Sons of the Black Sword stand in his way. If it's war he wants, it is war he will get. Bane Books presents Destroyer of Worlds. Available September 1st, wherever books are sold. Visit MonsterHunterNation.com for more. Free Talk Live.
That's right, it is Free Talk Live, and you are free to call in and talk live here on the airwaves, because that's what we do 7 nights a week. From 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, we are here taking your calls on Free Talk Live. It's Mark with you.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. And I'll admit it, I am concerned. I don't know, obsessed is the right term. I don't think about it all the time. But I'm concerned with the possible violence that may occur after this election. And not concerned in the sense that I think it's going to come to where I live, because I don't think things would go well for people who wanted to, you know, do violence out where I live. But I live in the country where things are tend to be a little safer. And
not a target-rich environment for anyone.
I mean, no. They weren't even able to pull off their riot in Manchester. That was shut down pretty quickly. I mean, it was shut down before it started, but...
So yeah,
I didn't even know it happened in Manchester. Can you tell me about that?
I mean,
Manchester, New Hampshire.
Back, yes, a couple months back. I mean, it never became a riot. There were some Antifa-looking people who had their march at night, and some of the Hawaiian shirt guys came out and stood in front
Boogaloo
of some
boys.
Of the, yeah, came out and stood in front of some of the small businesses with rifles, and they thought better of it and just marched home back to wherever they came from. They did not look like locals to me.
And I got to say, that is kind of a bizarre change. I mean, since when do they have protests at night? I mean, I've been in a lot of protests. Like, I remember protesting the war when...
Yeah, you want to be seen, you come out during the day.
Yeah, I remember protesting the war when Bush Part 2 started it. And yeah, it's so you can get seen during the day. This having a protest at night thing is pretty bizarre.
Let's go to Pat calling in from Michigan. That's Matt calling in
Good
from
evening,
Michigan.
Gentlemen.
Yes, go ahead. What's on your mind, Pat?
How you doing, guys? Yeah, I called in a long time ago when we first got our third female governor here, Gretchen the Great, that we're now dealing with. I think she's dealing with the politically correct news venue that they give us. She may or may not be the great-great-great-granddaughter of Genghis Khan, in my opinion.
There's a lot of Genghis Khan has lots and lots of relatives, so it's quite possible.
Yeah, but anyway, my point is all the states that are purple are truly black and blue.
What's
and
that mean?
They're being run by Democratic overlords. I mean, the shutdown thing has gone nuts.
Yeah.
And I want to give a shout out to the great American rednecks that stormed the Capitol here in Michigan in I think it was the third day after the shutdown.
Yeah, you remember
and
when you remember when the leftists hated protesters earlier in this COVID thing? I mean, that just weeks before the protests began over the guy that was killed in Minneapolis,
George Floyd,
there were protests going on, and the Democrats hated those protests.
This is a very sapient virus.
It's a very woke virus. It only attacks people when they're protesting for right causes or libertarian causes, never for people protesting for authoritarian or left causes.
Indeed. So
well, my question is, how far would this governor have reached if they had not shown up and put the fear of God in her in the first place? And right off the get on this thing.
It doesn't seem to have slowed her down. She seems to...
That's fearful in its own right.
Yeah. When does the election occur there in Michigan for the new governor?
Well, we already had one, but the local sheriff wasn't on it, and there's been... I'd like to see a transfer of power because this thing has been incessive for a long time up here.
Incestuous.
It's a very manipulated county.
Well, but I don't mean the county. When does the governor of the state of Michigan, when does the term end?
Oh, God. You got me lying on that one. I'm thinking it's 2 years from now.
Okay. Well, it's going to be a while then. Good luck, Pat.
Yep. Well, God save the queen, right?
855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. Thank you for the call, Pat.
Yeah, it's a damned if you do, damned if you don't situation. I mean, was she scared by the first act against her when she started this?
She could have been emboldened.
Is this the toned down version, or was that counter-effective?
Right. I mean, when you're thinking about leaders, historically, people who have gained power, chief executive of the state of Michigan, that you don't generally think of somebody who cows to the will of a handful of miscreants.
Well, they're usually well protected, though, yeah. Is why leaders. I mean, we are used to living in a superpower. Think of countries that are not superpowers and how they react to people coming into the government buildings and storming the place.
They would take that very badly, generally.
Yeah, so if they're unable to just gun them down, which she kind of was unable to for maybe different reasons, they do react to those pressures. So if she is not anymore, or any of the governors, are not anymore completely protected by the facade of we work for you, then she might have to abide by some of what the people want, at least for a little while.
I want to go on with this article from USA Today that talks about a possible impending, or at least Americans believing a civil war is on the way. I think it's worth mentioning here the YouGov poll that says basically 50% of Americans, somewhere near 50% of Americans, believe that it is unlikely to be a fair and honest election, that generally the public will not agree as to the legitimacy of the election, and that you can expect to see an increase in violence as a result of the election. So that's what 50% of Americans, according to this poll, believe. And then they've got a couple of people here that are sort of interviewing as the, you know, your average righty, your average lefty. Trump is already casting doubt. Here's the lefty. Trump is already casting doubt on the legitimacy of the vote by mail, which he sees. He says vote by mail, not mail-in ballot, which tells me that he may try to dispute the result legally or by decree, or who knows what that means, Edelman said, an assistant to the learning specialist at a local school who backed Senator Bernie Sanders in the primary. He's a liar. He will promote baseless conspiracy theories if he feels it will benefit him politically. Both Fry and Edelman, these are the two righty lefty folks, are members of Braver Angels, an organization that promotes civility and healing between reds and blues and regularly holds workshops where participants can air opposing views. The group, formerly known as Better Angels, began in 2017 when half the country was having trouble getting over Trump's victory.
What has to be wrong with you for you to go to something like that?
I don't know. You care deeply about the political process more than you do about your candidate winning? I don't know.
I don't follow. What does something have to be wrong with you to go to this?
So it's a workshop where you get to, in theory, I'm not unconvinced it's going to turn into a shouting match, but you get to sit down and cry it out with the opposing team. Like, this doesn't seem like a good use of anybody's time.
Well, there are some people who are like, how could you possibly hold the opposite opinion and really do want to know that?
And
they do exist.
Yeah, I think that it's...
So it's just the internet, but in real life?
Well, one of the really unpleasant parts about the internet is that when you disagree with someone and you attempt to have a civil conversation and you attempt to make salient points, they don't address them. Or when they do find an area of weakness that you have, they... You know, they'll exploit that and address no other point. And if they disagree with you and they can't make a good argument, they'll dox you and call your employer and say all kinds of wrong things about you and try to ruin your marriage and do a whole variety of things. Yeah, these people on the internet are flaming a-holes, and Facebook is hell.
So okay? Show up to where they can see that you are you for real.
Well, actually,
know you
yeah.
live within a circle.
Well, no, I mean, that's actually a huge thing. Like, there are all sorts of things that a person will do because they cannot see the look on someone's face
yes.
when it happens.
Absolutely.
And, both on the side of personal compassion and on the side of personal safety, they will do all sorts of terrible things because they don't actually have that visceral response to your action.
Well, that's why empathy is stupid.
Well,
Andrew would disagree with you.
I don't know how to address that one, but I think that it results in more civil conversations if you're right in front of somebody. 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. Call in and have a civil conversation here on Free Talk Live. Talk Live. Call in. Talk about whatever is on your mind. It is Mark with you.
Speakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
The number 855-450-3733. Are you afraid of an American civil war, some kind of civil unrest post-election, pre-election? 855-450-3733. That is 855-450-FREE as in freedom. Reading an article here from USA Today, which is discussing just this very issue, and I think it's worth talking about. I want to tell you about that here real quick before I talk about Intercoin. Intercoin is built to help democratize power to the people in their local communities. Cryptography enables people to hold secure and private elections about any matter of community governance and could even be used to securely tally and report results for national elections. This would solve a lot of problems if we just use cryptocurrency to handle elections and, attach it to biometric data or whatever. I think people would be a lot more convinced that their votes got counted.
And the nice thing about that is that everyone who knows how it works actually trusts that it's secure.
Well, they ought to.
Unlike the mail.
So Intercoin has also pioneered provably random polling that is unaffected by poor voter turnout or spoiler effects. It can be used to continuously adjust levers of monetary policy, such as how much a UBI to issue the next day. Intercoin is attempting to regain some of our freedoms that are threatened on the internet and in meat space. Meat space is the real world, where people walk around made of meat. We think that it's important here on Free Talk Live, and so important that we accepted $40,000 worth of Intercoin tokens from Intercoin Inc. for advertising. If you think freedom's important too, check out Intercoin at intercoin.org, and you can invest in this project and potentially make big gains. And I become more convinced that that's the case all the time. Or you can just be involved and perhaps shape its future. Many have. Intercoin.org is where you get started. That's I-N-T-E-R, intercoin.org. So going on with this article here from USA Today, Braver Angels, which used to be Better Angels, which commissioned the YouGov poll, which we just referred to, has issued a letter from America, a national campaign asking citizens, civic groups, and religious organizations to pledge that they will disavow violence from either side and respect those who voted differently. So, I mean, disavow violence? How many, wasn't it only like 3% of people in the American Revolution fought? So if you got 97% of Americans to disavow violence, would it make a difference? Anyway, if in the near future we face a constitutional crisis in which of our institutions cannot produce institutions cannot produce consensus on who is legitimately elected president, we resolve to work together across the chasm for solutions grounded in the Constitution and guided by our democratic and nonviolent traditions and our sense of shared destiny, the letter says.
The nonviolent traditions of the United States federal government.
Well, the transitions of power have largely been nonviolent.
That we know of.
I suppose. I mean, could there... It doesn't seem to be...
No. I mean, like, we don't know what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, but there's probably not a lot of assassinations.
We do not have a little civil war every 4 years.
Right, yeah. So we don't transition power with wars internally. We do that, we export that.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's certainly been wars surrounding power, the Civil War probably being chief among them. One wonders how dissension and civil unrest compare between now and the Civil War. There were only, what, I remember John Brown, and I can't remember what the conflict that he had, the armed conflict he had, and I think it was Missouri over slavery. But, I mean, there's literally police stations being set on fire in the United States, and I don't know what's going to happen in the future. I don't think either side is ready to go full bore because their guy might win, whomever that might be, you know, Biden or Trump. So anyway, the election is less than a month away, and the country has been roiled for months over a series of crises exposing deep partisan rifts, a pandemic that has killed more than 210,000 Americans. What I think the median age of that is down to 78 now. So, you know, half of those people were above that median age. An economy that has lost millions of jobs as a result. Street protests over police brutality.
Well, hold on. As a result of our response to the virus.
The government's response to the virus. Yeah. I didn't have anything to do with it, but yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know what to do about that. I, as a guy who runs a business, I'm just going to continue to run the business. I don't know what else to do. I hope it goes better for other people. A fight over the Supreme Court seat that could be asked to decide the election, and COVID-19 diagnosis of the president and his top aides and some senators. Yeah, the Supreme Court thing is a big deal. And I think the COVID-19 thing with Trump made him look better, not worse.
Probably.
I mean
people love a leader that can get you through a crisis, and they are more likely to stand behind a leader during a great crisis.
Right. There's a crisis, plus the fact that Trump, kind of his strength is being a strong man. And he got COVID and whipped it in
like 2 days.
Hours, you know. Now, I mean, you know, COVID affects people differently. I don't propose that this means that Trump is a strong man.
Well, and they found out because of his daily tests, not because he actually had symptoms. So he had it the way everybody else has it, which is it's completely asymptomatic.
And I saw a headline today which shows some level of desperation. I think, you know, I share the bias that the mainstream media hates Trump. I share that bias because that's the evidence I've seen. They're claiming that Trump is throwing up blood now.
I'd throw a minor exception on the Republican mainstream media, but yeah.
Yeah, there's certainly Fox's mainstream and has you know, called itself an outsider or whatever. But, you know, if you look at the three cable channels, you think of Fox as Republican, you think of MSNBC as Democrat, and you think of CNN as middle of the road. Well, they're not. CNN is not middle of the road.
I always mix those two up, MSNBC and CNN.
Yeah, well, that's for good reason.
I can't tell the difference.
Yeah.
I'd like to dive into, you said you don't think that the supporters on either side are ready to go full bore if the other wins. Why?
Until the other wins.
Oh, until the other wins.
The reason,
okay, yeah.
What I'm trying to say is that you know, I'm putting myself in the place of a revolutionary. I am not one and would not pick up a gun and fight over this stuff. I'm certainly not going to pick up a stick and a shield and fight over it because that sounds like a dumb way to fight. But, you know, if I were to put myself in these people's shoes, I would not want to make my move until the final injustice had been done. And that final injustice is that my person didn't win when I believe that they should have. And you can believe that both sides are going to believe that. So, yeah, it's kind of dangerous. Let's go to the phones here. We've got
So sure we should.
Oh, you're absolutely right. Pardon me. Yeah, the number 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. We will go to the phones here very shortly. And if you call, we'll go to you. The number, 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE, as in Free Talk Live.
Oh. On a multidimensional probe, the SysGov Transtemporal Vehicle Clio discovers two entire universes have been annihilated in a massive time-traveling accident. Robert Kaminsky and his crew race home with the news, only to learn their own universe is next. To pull off the impossible, they'll have to embrace the unpalatable by placing their trust in the admin, SysGov's xenophobic sister universe, and the same people who tried to kill them all only months before. The Valkyrie Protocol by David Weber and Jacob Hollow. Available October 6th, wherever books are sold. Visit Bain Books at Bain.com for more.
Free Talk Live. Call in, talk about whatever's on your mind. It's Mark with you. Oh, do that again, I'm sorry.
Beakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. Yeah, let's jump right into the phones here. Padrag in New Mexico. Padrag, you're on Free Talk Live.
Pretty close.
Okay.
I just want to say you guys are talking about what's going to happen after a president gets elected, whether it's Trump or Biden, and violence is going to hit the streets. My suggestion and the way I live is I live in a 70-unit mobile home complex.
Okay.
And I know everybody in here, all my neighbors. We always don't get along. We always don't agree. But I guarantee you that anybody that comes in here, they know, and they can call me at any time. We are the first line of defense, and we take of our own community. And I would recommend that to L.A. with the boroughs, New York. Everybody knows who drives through their streets in their communities. And all they have to do is hold the line. You don't have to call law enforcement. If enough people go out there and confront somebody, it's handled.
Yeah, there's nothing quite like having your neighbors watch your back.
Excuse me?
There's nothing quite like having your neighbors watch your back.
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right. Connection with your neighbors is probably one of the best things you can do for, sort of protection, community involvement, these sorts of things. And it's extraordinarily valuable. I would agree with you 100%.
Thank you very much. You have a good evening.
Same to you.
Good evening.
Yep. Yeah, thanks for the call. The fact is that we move so often and people don't really talk to their neighbors. And, you know, I've found in some cases when I've talked to my neighbors, they've been really awful. So I don't want to talk to them anymore. Not that I disagree with this guy. I think he's absolutely right. The better relationships you can have with your neighbors, the better. But it's...
Wait, and if you find yourself in a position where you absolutely disagree and hate everyone around you, if there's one or two guys, okay, fine, then just have a community with everybody else. But if it's everybody or a strong majority, then go to where there are people like you, and then you won't have that problem anymore.
Yeah, indeed. There's one thing I'm thinking of here is the time I spent in Saipan, the Marianas, U.S. Marianas here in the last earlier this year. They just don't seem to have any problems like this. All these things that go on in the United States, it is the United States, but all the things that go on stateside just don't affect them the same way. They've got violent crime happens now and then. People have disputes with their loved ones, and sometimes that bubbles over and, these kind of things. But, I just didn't have those kind of problems. Didn't have to think about it quite as much either. And if it gets more wrought as time goes by, because each election is worse, I can only imagine what 2024 is going to look like.
Well, I mean, one of the things to keep in mind with this is that with the whole shutdown, lockdown thing, I mean, food scarcity is really a concern for people. Like, it is a thing actually on people's mind. So, I mean, if you don't know whether your neighbors are going to have your back or raid you first, that is a real concern to have in a time like this.
Yeah. Well, let's go on with the article here from USA Today, talking about these YouGov polls. Alex Theodorosis is an associate professor of political science, lefty, at the University of Massachusetts Amherst, lefty, and has studied at the country's growing partisan divide. The reasonable chance that the election comes down to a few states And that legal challenges could mean a protracted court battle would give voters on both sides more ammunition to doubt the integrity of the election and act out, he said. A close contested election in our hyper-polarized political climate could very well produce isolated incidents of partisan violence. One thing that I was thinking about this election that sort of differs from the 2001, and that was certainly contested, is that there's a president in office right now. Unseating a incumbent has always been difficult. Now, granted, Trump has got to be the most divisive person to hold the office, at least in my lifetime. But the, he has control of some stuff in this circumstance. He's sitting in the Oval Office as they're deciding who gets to sit in the Oval Office. That didn't happen the last time. Bill Clinton was definitely leaving, and Al Gore and George Bush were vying for it. And it came down to a really, you know, close decision. Remember, Al Gore lost his home state. That's really important. And then it came to Florida as to whether or not the votes would be counted. But with Trump, you know, he's got some higher level of power because he's in office. And I don't know what that means when things happen.
Before you go on, I got to say, I disagree with this guy's idea that there's going to be isolated incidents. I mean, sure, there may have been isolated incidents if this was, you know, 2000, you know, in the age before the hashtag. But I mean, the probability of isolated incidents instead of like massive, potentially organized changes, I think our communications technology is probably well past that.
Well, there would be some level of there's some tipping point, right, where violence occurred, right? Because we saw violence occurred in Minneapolis, and then we saw violence occur around the United States in different locations, and that happened because of communication. It didn't happen spontaneously,
right?
So I don't know what these what this violence would look like, but I'm the folks on the left whom are currently the ones who appear to be, you know, involved in perpetrating the violence, they're not dumb, and they learn. They're not going to continue to do the same things over and over again and expect different results. They're going to do different things. So now you're seeing they aren't continuing to bring bats and shields to gunfights like they were in the beginning.
Right.
And it's going to go from bad to worse. The whole Chaz thing there, that was guarded by people with ARs, leftists with ARs. And a lot of times in America, we'd like to act like leftists can't carry ARs, but they can. And they can use them just like anybody else.
Well, you pointed out the left city tendency, and as far as the city folk are concerned, I think the most dangerous of them are the gang members that will have potentially Uzis.
My research, according to this political scientist here, and work by others, shows that most partisans are willing to metaphorically dehumanize those from the other party, and that is this dehumanization that predicts greater tolerance for partisan violence. And this is absolutely true.
What is a literal dehumanizing? Just like use CRISPR to change into another species? That was a ridiculous clarification.
Yeah, well, it is a ridiculous
according to Merriam-Webster, as if literally is a perfectly reasonable definition of the word literally.
Each side is apt to blame the other for inciting disorder. And that's absolutely true. If Trump wins, I fear chaotic, destructive hate will continue, says Christy Koch, 49, a Braver Angels member and Trump supporter from Arlington, Virginia, who works part-time for an international development and relief nonprofit organization. Trump derangement syndrome really exists, and some people will not stop, she wrote in an email to USA Today. But that shouldn't frighten me into voting as they want me to vote. As a matter of fact, I would say if what your concern is civil unrest, and this is not an endorsement on my part. I'm just making an assumption. If what your concern is civil unrest, you should vote for Trump. That wouldn't change my vote.
I could see people voting either way because they're concerned about civil unrest.
How is the change of power from a president to is seated in office?
If we give the leftists what they want, they'll quit lighting things on fire.
Oh, yeah, that's always happened.
Even if that was true, I'm too petty for that.
855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. And many do love the taste of liberal tears. There's no doubt. Free Talk Live. Talk Live, the number 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. You can call in and talk about whatever's on your mind. It's Mark with you.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
We've been talking about this article from USA Today that's potentially foreshadowing some kind of civil unrest post-election and making some excellent points. I'm going to go to the phones here very quickly, but before we do, I want to tell you about Divvy. You've heard us talk about Divvy here on Free Talk Live, and maybe you've wanted to set up one of their easy-to-deploy masternodes or stake Divvy so that you can begin earning Divvy right now. Now, Ian says setting up a masternode was super easy and staking was even easier. I have not set up a masternode, but my wife did and Ian did, and both of them said, you know, relatively easy. We're not investment advisors here on Free Talk Live, but we think that you will be impressed with your earning potential with Divvy as compared to traditional investment vehicles. So go to DivvyProject.org and get started, and you can buy Divvy at several exchanges or go or directly from the Divvy team. They make it very easy. Need help? There's a link to their Telegram channel right there on the front page at DivvyProject.org. That's D-I-V-I, Divvy as in division, DivvyProject.org. Let's go to Robert in Vermont. Robert, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, Mark. How you doing?
All's well. How about you?
Well, it's another day in paradise.
Indeed. What's on your mind?
Hey, look, I think that I was thinking today earlier that I think that there's a way to be able to stop Trump from winning the election this year.
Okay.
And
do I want to do that? Because do you mean get Joe Biden elected? Is that the
somebody else?
Okay,
you know, yes.
Well, are there options that you're going to present that this method is going to accomplish besides Trump and Joe Biden?
Right. So, if we improvise, okay, and find out, you know, what Trump's idiosyncrasies are, meaning his likenesses and his dislikenesses, and attack it. One of the things that he hates most of all is to lose.
No, he does, yes.
He hates to lose.
He hates to be a loser.
That's what's going to be infiltrated.
That's going to be what?
That's what's going to be infiltrated. In other words, pursued to get in there and, you know, attack. You know, he doesn't like to lose at anything.
Sure. He's not going to like it if he loses the election, and if he does lose the election, he's going to make a big ruckus about it and say that you know, it had to do with mail-in ballots, and it could
probably did.
Well, I mean, we don't know what the results are going to be, but it could very well be that.
Okay, well, let's look at the number of mail-in votes for each candidate versus actual votes for each candidate.
All we have to do is look and see which party is pushing mail-in voting and which party hates it.
Yeah, and has been for a very long time, and this is just a good excuse.
Right. So, there you go. I don't know how that's going to help get Joe Jorgensen elected, though, Robert.
Well, all we can do is just hope, or, you know, or you can write somebody in like Dale W. Perry, you know, anybody but Trump.
Okay, well, first of all, you can't write somebody in every state.
Yeah, well, a lot of states don't have write-ins. Thank you for the call, Robert. Yeah, basically, if you're not going to vote for who's on the ballot in 40-plus states, you might as well not fill in that particular thing. I mean,
for U.S. president, some local elections we have had in New Hampshire, local write-in candidates win.
It's happened in elections, and there's some notable historical write-in wins, but they are very few and very far between. So you know, my statements, I'll stand by my statement. If you're not voting for somebody who's on the ballot for president in 40 plus states, you might as well not vote for anybody. And that's my criteria, is I pick from the people who are on a ballot in 40 plus states. So
I have a question for you, Mark, since as you've pointed out, this is a major concern of yours and you've devoted a fair amount of thought to it. Since it was briefly brought up, the possibility of having someone other than either Biden or Trump have the greatest amount of power over us, if there is a civil war, what do you think is the chances of breaking up the Union?
Well, I've been advocating for a less powerful union for some time. You don't need to get rid of the things that we like flags and eagles, which most people seem to be pretty fond of, by and large. But the federal government has aggregated to itself a great deal of power through the Commerce Clause and the General Welfare Clause. And these things are significant problems. Also, by the way, the Federal Reserve creation of money is controlled by the federal government. The federal government has some level of control over that, which means that they can control states by deciding who gets money. If daddy hands out the money in the household, then the kids are going to try to please daddy. If the kids have their own jobs and earn their own money, then they're not going to work as hard to do that. So that's my theory on that.
That's kind of a non-answer to my question, though. I mean, if there is a civil war, what do you figure are the chances that there might not be, that there would be possible secessions or at least a decrease?
I don't think there'd be secessions. I think there would be a quelling of the violence, and that would be that.
Mm.
You know, I mean, if this is the most powerful government that the world has ever seen, and the idea that it's going to be taken down by some people who want to set buildings on fire and, you know, just don't have much of a plan. Yeah, not likely.
Yeah, it's so powerful that we don't even know who the targets would be. There's some banker somewhere who we have never heard his name or seen his picture, and he's the one in charge, and probably a handful of them, not one guy.
I'm not suggesting that the United States government would be taken down, just that maybe when the dust settles, that New York and Texas are not in the same country anymore.
Well, if it's not taken down, then there's no way to do that, because it's not just going to give away power.
Mm. Let's go to Mary calling in from Pennsylvania, listening to iHeartRadio. Mary, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, your first name again, sir?
My first name is Mark.
Oh, Mark. Hi, I'm Mary. You were saying about the Civil War, about the left and the right, and after the election, whoever wins. I don't know if you've been watching, and your show is very interesting. It's the first time I call, and thank you for letting me talk. But I don't know if you've been watching, the most of the right, which is very conservative, we're parading around with the Eucharist, and we want peace. That's what we want. The Catholic Church is parading around with the Eucharist, and we want peace. But there's a lot of people on the conservative side, or at least the Trump side, that want peace. They don't want this violence. And I think if Trump gets elected, he'll use the power that is appropriated to him, it's going to get out of hand. I think he'll be able to handle it. Biden, on the other hand, I don't think, I just think they're rioting for riot's sake, just to stir up trouble, kind of split, you know, like conquer and divide, and they kind of, you know, target a victim group, and then you kind of tartan Biden. I think if Biden wins, I'd be scared that it would continue to go on, and there really wouldn't be any control. That's what would scare me.
If Trump wins, you think that Trump would be able to quell the violence that at this point 50% of Americans believe is going to occur? If Biden wins, you do not believe that Americans that the violence would be quelled, because there would be too great of a groundswell of it?
Yes, there would. I mean, they're already arguing because Biden just repealed saying he's not going to defund the whole police department, and people are already rioting over that. And I don't think, and I think it's a lot of people coming in from the outside. You know, there's you know, George Soros millionaires that are trying to just, you know, they're trying to involve themselves. But I think it's more like making our government more chaotic and actually really wanting something, you know, to get done. And I think Trump sees through that, and he can see through that, and he'll stop it. You know, he'll be able to control it, because I think he is the powerfulest government, and I know we have the powerfulest government in history of kind and based on Judeo-religion, you know, committee. And I think we forget one thing is that Joe Biden is, and I'm not getting religious here, but Joe Biden is not Catholic. I'm Roman Catholic. Joe Biden is Catholic.
Is Trump Catholic?
He's a bad Catholic. Yeah, I'm Roman Catholic, yes.
No, no, is Trump Catholic?
No, Trump isn't Catholic. He's Christian, but he believes in pro-life, and that is what Catholics believe in. Biden is
so
Catholic.
There's a lot of Democrat Catholics, though.
There's a hard limit on the number of extramarital partners and prostitutes you can sleep with before you can still say that you're pro-life, because your actions are kind of going in
what's
the opposite of that.
What does that mean? I don't understand, Melanie. What are you saying?
There's only so many unintended pregnancies that you can contribute to before you can claim that you're still pro-life.
So the Catholic Church does what? Oh, I see.
No, Trump.
Trump. I see. Trump is a bit of a philanderer. Mary, thank you for the call. Really appreciate it. The number, 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. There's nothing we can do about that clock. So, you know, can't change it. 855-450-3733.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warda.
Looking for a great real estate investment? Consider New Hampshire, which is ground zero for the Liberty Movement. Your first call should be to Mark Warden from Porcupine Real Estate. He's more than just a real estate agent. He's your New Hampshire concierge. Where are the best places to live? Do you want farm, city, the burbs, or forest? Do you want a duplex or multifamily building so that renters pay your mortgage? There are homes in all price ranges in New Hampshire, and Mark can help with financing too. Invest in liberty and property. Mark Warden can help.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.
Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live. Kicking off the third hour, you can call in and talk about whatever's on your mind. It's Mark with you.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
Got a bunch of calls holding over here. The number's 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. What we've been talking about all evening is this article from USA Today, where they go over this YouGov poll that they did very recently, which basically says, I'm going to repeat it here, about 50% of people believe that the election is unlikely to be fair and honest, that people would generally agree on, that people will generally not agree on the legitimacy of the elected president, and that an increase in violence is likely to result. This is the likely result of the election. So, with this information, it could be bad, and they're sort of talking about what could happen. Now, I don't know. You know, civil war. Are we talking about neighbors fighting neighbors, and you know, guns being toted, and people wearing certain colors? I doubt that. But increased civil unrest, certainly. What does that civil unrest look like? Remember, civil unrest brought down the Soviet Union.
Well, I also find it interesting that it's about half. So this poll actually gives us no further clarity than we had before this poll as to whether or not it's actually going to happen.
Well, and what I would say is that so half of the people believe it's going to happen. Half of the people don't believe it's going to happen. These are registered voters, not just your average person. But it only took 3% of people to fight the American Revolution.
Well, yeah, but if it was 25% or 75%, that would actually give us some clarity on, like, okay, this is definitely going to happen most likely, or this is definitely less likely to happen.
It's definite that a lot of people are concerned with it. Let's go to the phones. We've got Robert calling in from South Carolina. Robert, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hello. I just wanted to say that with regard to what you were talking about earlier, I just want to say in times of violence and unrest, people will not do any social experimentation. They'll basically pick what they know and pick what they're comfortable with. And I presume that would be Trump, because socialism is something that they're not really comfortable with. And they know that socialism could easily lead to communism. And they have a I don't believe they would be comfortable with that. So I think that they would go with Trump because of the disturbances that we've been having. And
That's a possibility, but it could just as easily go the other direction if they believe that Biden is Obama term three.
So you think that Biden is seen as the socialist option?
Well, Biden is actually, from what I read, Biden is actually slightly to the left of Bernie Sanders, and Bernie Sanders is pretty far to the left. So if they do their homework,
they're saying that about Kamala Harris, but I haven't heard them say that about Biden. Biden's kind of trying to distance himself from the terminology socialist.
You're right, but I don't know how you take a look at his record, I don't think you'd see that.
Well, I know that he has a long record, and people don't seem to care about it at all.
He strikes me as a centrist authoritarian, honestly.
Yeah, that's what I would call him, too, a centrist authoritarian. But he's always been right there with the Democrats trying to, pass, what did he call, super predators,
the crime bill. The 94 crime bill.
Right, I mean,
Yeah, he was happy to go on the right in 1994 when that was the most politically feasible thing to do.
Right, Biden's been right of Trump and left of Sanders, depending on whatever the direction the wind blows. Thanks for the call, Robert, appreciate it. The number, 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE.
You might be right about as far as people will go with what they know. And this is what's already the president. And in almost all cases, the president serves two terms. So that is what people know.
Yes. But like I said, they could view Biden as Obama term three. Now, the question I would have.
Trump is definitely not what they know.
Where is Obama? People are voting right now. Ballots are turned in. In my household, we have voted. And, America would want to know. At this point, there's no October surprise. You've got to do a September. You've got to do an August surprise now because voting goes on for a period of time. And if Obama is going to be out there stumping for Biden, where is he?
Yeah, that's kind of – it's almost the most damning thing. It's the most damning thing about Biden. Because for the guy who you were VP for, and you don't select your own VP as president, really, for him not to be actively supporting you is kind of odd.
Michelle Obama did some campaigning for Biden, so,
Well,
that for what it's worth.
I think a big part of the point of choosing the Biden-Harris ticket is so that the left can get their supporters under their thumb. Because there are two things that leftists really don't like. Cops and rich, straight, old white men. And you've got both of them. So, if you had the first black president out there campaigning for him, that would really soften the authoritarian structure that they're putting in place right now.
And Obama is widely considered to be one of the best Democratic presidents by Democrats in our lifetime, in recent past. I would argue that, in fact, he got very little done, and the things that he did get done include shelling hospitals in foreign countries. But whatever, that's, people don't hold the same opinion as I do. Whatever the case may be.
That would lessen the loyalty test.
Let's go to Timothy calling in from Missouri. Timothy, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Yes, I'd like to talk about the support of third-party candidates. You said, if I understand you correctly, that unless your candidate was on at least 40 of the state's ballots, that it wasn't worth voting for?
Yes, that's my opinion.
Well, in the first place, I believe a person should vote for who they believe will do the best job, they think is going to win.
Sure, but I could vote for my mom.
I think I would do the best job.
Right.
I'm talking about serious candidates.
Somebody well, that's the thing is they're not serious if they're not on the ballot in 40 states.
Well, let me put it this way. Okay. Lincoln, when he won the election in 1860, only won 19% of the vote. He did not get a single vote in any of the southern states. In fact, I don't know if he was even on their ballot. That was only the second time a Republican candidate had a candidate in the elections. 1860 was the first one. He was the second one. So actually, they were basically a third party equal to today, a third party candidate. And yet he won with 19% of the vote.
But he was on enough of ballot. He was on the ballot in enough of states to be able to mathematically win. And that is not true of every third party in every election.
Right. And by the way, we should use the term we should use the term minor party, because third party doesn't make sense. You can't have 15 thirds. So for instance, I would call the if you are going to use the term third party, I would only call the Libertarians and the Greens a third party, because
I thought you said we couldn't have more than one.
Well, you can have a tie for third, but you're having 15 tie for third. Well, doesn't make any sense.
Libertarians are bigger than Green.
Well, Libertarians and the Greens, but the Greens have had more votes for Ralph Nader, for several elections within the last few decades. So, Ralph Nader got a lot of votes, whereas there was the Socialist People's Liberty Party in Florida that was on the ballot that I happened to see on my wife's ballot. I've never heard of these people before, and they're likely only on one state's ballot.
Now, the Constitution Party, I believe, are in several, or they was anyway.
Yeah, the Constitution Party's been around for a while, and I can see why somebody might want to vote for them. I don't know how many states I'm not following the Constitution Party. I am not a reporter in that sense. So if they're on 40 states, this is a general rule of thumb. What it really has to do with is having enough electoral votes. But 40 states, you'll definitely cross that line. If you want to give your vote to a Constitution candidate, by all means. But having the difference between writing down Bugs Bunny and voting for the Socialist People's Liberty Party in Florida is vanishingly narrow. It would be my contention.
I just think if you vote for the lesser of two evils, you're still voting for evil. That's all I got to say.
Thank you for the call, Timothy. Whoops. Yeah. 855-450-3733. That's 855-450-FREE. Pushed the wrong button there. But he did say goodbye. Free Talk Live. It's Free Talk Live. Call in, talk about whatever's on your mind. It's Mark with you.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
The number 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. Want to thank the amplifiers, every single one of them. And you can be one too. If you go to amp.freetalklive.com, you can amp the show. So one of the reasons that you might want to do this is, in some cases, we give little perks that, make your experience better. You can, call in lines and ways to communicate with other amplifiers and ways to communicate with the host and all those sorts of things. Also, if you believe in the ideas of freedom of speech, you definitely want to support Free Talk Live, because we're the only show out here doing a show like we do, where we let, pretty much anybody who calls in get on the air and talk about pretty much anything they want to talk about. The FCC has some rules, and we have some rules, too. For instance, one of the rules is one call a night. Other rules are if you threaten people, you don't get on the air. But whatever the case may be, if you support Free Talk Live, you want to go to the AMP program at amp.freetalklive.com and do as Leah Hoffman has and support the show. She's a silver amplifier. So thank you, Leah Hoffman. All the best to you and your family. It's amp.freetalklive.com. Let's go back to the article here where we're talking about this this poll that says that basically there's going to be violence after the election. Right now, they're talking about dehumanizing of the other side. So, I don't know what this word is. Noor Anin, 23, an architecture student who immigrated from Pakistan as a child, is worried about what will happen in the aftermath of the election. A Biden supporter who initially backed Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren in the Democratic presidential primary, Anin said Trump's victory in 2016 validated hate in the U.S., and his followers could act up even if he wins re-election. So he's concerned that there may be violence from the Trump side should Trump get re-elected. Now, this is the first time that I have heard somebody saying that the side that wins is going to be violent.
First I've heard of it, too.
Yeah, I haven't heard that suggestion.
There's no reason. That's silly. If you already have the power, you don't go to the street to fight for power.
He also makes the claim that Trump's victory in 2016 validated hate, and I don't know what he means by that. Many Trump people are big on immigration in ways that I am not, but I don't think that necessarily means hate. It may be ignorance. It may be, belief in a system that doesn't work.
Well, I think a lot of the people that have this perspective, they really believe that deep down in the heart of so many Americans, there's this absolute racism. And that the reason that these people aren't actively, openly racist is because it's not socially acceptable. And
how could it not be socially acceptable if racism was socially in the hearts of so many? I mean, it's either socially acceptable or it's not, right?
That's not necessarily true.
Like, that's not how societies functionally work.
All right.
It is a very common thing to present a false face. Socially that you and have different opinions privately. And the idea is that it's become out of fashion to be openly and blaringly racist, but that these people still are in their heart of hearts racist and just haven't had the opportunity to get away with being openly racist.
Of course, more opportunities exist in this this country where Mr. Annan here, who is from Pakistan, has the opportunity to speak on an issue and vote on an issue, whereas I'm relatively certain that if I went to Pakistan and I attempted to run for office and get my opinions of liberal Western democracy in, that I would be roundly rejected, if not killed. And this is true around the world. Racism or ethnocentrism or whatever you want to call it is the norm around the globe. And the United States and Western cultures are the exception, where we will accept people from different places and we look forward to them coming up with their bringing different ideas. I mean, I at this point, his idea doesn't really pass muster with me, the idea that the 2016 election validated hate, but I'm the guy he's talking about, right? I am a white guy who's 50 years old. He doesn't like me.
Well, to me, the most interesting part about this is it wasn't enough for these people that have racism deep in their heart but don't tell you about it. It wasn't enough that Trump got the first one. Like, getting elected in the first place was not enough to bring that bubbling to the surface. That was insufficient acceptance of white supremacist ideas. But a re-election, that would make it really okay.
Let's go on here. The country's already pretty divided, and it's only become more and more divided in the past 4 years. She said, okay, this name, Annan, is she. Considering the state of things this year, there's a lot of different emotions, and there are a lot of people who feel very strongly about different sides. Whatever the outcome is, I feel like there will be a rise in violence. And I would agree that there will likely be a rise in violence afterwards. I do not think it will be by the winning party, necessarily, though. I would tend to think that it would be by the loser. And I would say the division has increased in this country, progressively. I would start with Al Gore and his claim that there were two Americas. And that began the whole thing. And then, Bush comes into office and the lefties are all anti-war. And then, Obama gets in office, gets the Peace Prize for, being.
And the anti-war movement evaporates.
Right. And then the anti-war movement's gone. Then you've got the birthers coming in and basically people questioning Obama's legitimacy. And the divisions have been there. Here are the divisions. The reason we have divisions is because politics is taking your opinion and shoving it down the throat of somebody who disagrees with you. That's it. And the more powerful that the central state becomes, the more divided we're all going to be. This was supposed to be an experiment in a diverse several states where you got to choose between different forms of governance. And it is no longer that. The homogeny is that we now have 50% of people on one side, 50% of people on the other side who are attempting to play a sort of tug of war, and the loser has to eat a dead rat. And the loser doesn't want to eat the dead rat. And the loser is going to figure out why the people making them eat the dead rat are very bad people. and they are very bad people. Forcing your candidate on the other person is bad. But you know what's worse is having the other person's candidate forced on you. So you're stuck in this catch-22 where you're supposed to be voting. Now, also, the fun part is here's the little twist. Your vote doesn't make a difference.
Well, but there's bound to be a bunch of people that vote just like you no matter which way you do.
Agreed. The vote will make the vote in the singular will make a difference in so much as one party will be elected and the other won't. Now, we don't know whether this vote will be legitimate. I have no idea what will happen. I think that, inevitably both sides are going to say that the outcome is unacceptable and that there will be violence. But that's just what I think. What do you think? The number 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. I pray it doesn't happen, but I've prayed for no wars and that didn't work either.
Want to accept Bitcoin at your online store? There's a good chance you already have what you need. A WordPress using WooCommerce and a Bitcoin address. Now all you need to start taking Bitcoin payments on your website is the AnyPay app on your Android or iPhone. Just paste your Bitcoin address into AnyPay, then connect it to your website with our one-click plugin for WordPress. Now your website takes Bitcoin. Start to finish in 15 minutes or less with no complicated steps. Download AnyPay from the App Store today.
Free Talk Live. The number, 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. It's Mark with you.
Peakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
Reading an article from USA Today discussing the United States being on the verge of civil war. On the verge being in quotation marks here. And I think that they've made a case, at least for some kind of increase in violence. And I don't know what that curve looks like from a few random people getting shot on either side to an all-out shooting war with conservatives and liberals fighting it out, or city folks and country folks. I'm not even sure how it would go. I'd say if you're going into some particular person's area to demonstrate, like I see a problem there generally.
Well, I think they've definitely made the case for the uncertainty of that.
It's certainly uncertain. Let's go to the phones. Go to Dell calling in from California. Dell, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Well, hello, gentlemen. I really appreciate you taking my call. I just want to make my opinion perfectly clear. We don't have freedom anymore.
Did we at one point?
I don't know.
Okay,
I thought we
that's
did,
fair.
But what happened to me, this, I'll make it short and sweet. I'm a homeless individual. I was living in the high country in the wilderness in the Trinity Alps in Northern California. I was assaulted by several park rangers on horseback with firearms and told that I had to physically remove myself. I was physically evacuated from the area.
Is this because of fires, or what was the reason?
No, they said all the parks are closed. No people can be in the parks anymore.
Is that because of the fires, or is that because of something else, COVID?
Or the lockdown, yeah.
No, they were talking about the fires approaching the area.
Okay.
But So I removed myself. I had to walk out, 8 miles.
They didn't give you a ride?
I removed myself from the area.
They told you you had to leave, but they didn't give you a ride?
No, I got to my vehicle, and when I got to my vehicle, I had a $500 ticket on my vehicle for being in an evacuated area. I left my vehicle there 13 days earlier.
Right.
How can I be cited? Beyond that, I just, my point is, we as people are having our rights violated.
Yeah.
And it's not right.
Well, what it sounds to me like you were doing was camping. and you weren't doing anything that normal folks don't do and anything particularly wrong there, I would say that the citation on your vehicle is very likely just them trying to raise money or increase the urgency of what they're trying to do. You might consider fighting that, because I don't think they have much as far as grounds go for giving you a ticket of that size. But yeah, it's, you know, you'd think public land means you can be on it because you're part of the public. It doesn't mean that, unfortunately, because, well, the government just decides when public lands are open and when they're not. And that's sad. Dell, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Sounds amazing what these people can do, because they're answerable to neither a person nor any standard of behavior.
Yeah. Let's go to Mike calling in from Washington, listening on LRN.FM. Mike, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hey, you guys and girl. So I listened to a couple, you know, I'm new to the LRN thing. So I listened to two streams today. Both of them were actually quite amazing because I could have been listening to Home Improvement on regular radio.
There was a Home Improvement show on LRN.FM?
Well, you know, all radio stations on the weekends have those Home Improvement shows.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes, they have these niche shows.
So I really enjoyed your programming instead. Anyway, one was somebody's show about, they were talking about the militia kidnapping some governor. I don't know who the show host was, but it was a pretty interesting topic. But then I also... there was an interview with a guy on death row on another stream that was pretty fascinating to hear. Anyway, just as opposed to regular everyday radio, I was just kind of plugging the whole.
Thank you. We run LRN.FM to give people an option that is different than what they're getting elsewhere. LRN.FM is the most professionally run, independent internet network out there, and if you'd like to check it out, you go to, it's Liberty Radio Network, LRN.FM, and you can take a listen. And we got lots of ways to listen.
All right,
go ahead, Mike.
Have a good night.
Yeah, oh, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. So, yeah, Mike apparently had a good time and wanted to plug LRN.FM, and I appreciate it. I, too, am a listener of LRN.FM. Ian basically programs the thing, and, you know, it's a labor of love on his part, and I appreciate him doing it.
Well, it's definitely nice to get some variety as opposed to the standard programming you get from the corporate media out there.
Let's go to Dana calling in from Michigan. Dana, you're on Free Talk Live.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, Dana.
Usually you and I are on the same page, but I got a little bit of a bone to pick with you.
Excellent. I like that. Go ahead.
Okay. This should be fun.
Yes.
So earlier, probably about 40 minutes ago, you said that Trump is the most divisive president in your lifetime. Actually, let me get you an actual survey that was done.
Okay.
Because I was saying this before the survey ever came out. Can't direct you to the survey, but I will try to find it, I promise. And I'm sure you could Google, you know, a few Google words and maybe it'll pop up.
Well, just tell me what you experienced before, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Before Obama, at the end of Bush's term, they did a survey, and how blacks viewed whites, and they didn't do any other race, how blacks viewed whites and whites viewed blacks.
Uh-huh.
Whites viewed blacks approximately 10 points higher, anywhere from about 79% to 81%. They viewed them favorably.
Okay.
And as far as blacks to whites, it was about 10 points lower. So 69%, 70%.
Those are pretty good numbers generally.
At the end of Obama's first 4 years, both numbers were cut in half.
I see.
So it is Obama. It has also been said, as soon as the president is out of office, as soon as Bush was out, their favorability points, I'm not going to say they skyrocket, but they go up. Unbelievable.
People miss them.
People's memories are so short.
Yeah.
So that being said, they forgot how divisive that guy was. He was the one that started this, first with the Trayvon thing. Saying it, that looks like if I had a son, it looked like him.
Mm-hmm.
Then sending three Congress people down to Brown's funeral, who clearly beat the heck out of the cop, knocked his eye out of his socket, and bloodied. There was blood all over the interior police car. Black witnesses, their lives were threatened. They had to be relocated by our government because they testified that Brown was never on his knees and never had his hands up. He went after the cops and he wasn't stopping. Then there was the incident in Maryland.
There were certainly things going on, and maybe they went on just because of Obama's color, not because of his who he was.
But what I'm saying is, you're saying Trump is more divisive. Them yep. and Trump. One more, the Harvard professor who was breaking into his own house and who got really, really snotty and condescending with the white cop, which kicked off the beer summit, which was the stupidest thing.
Well, somebody may very well get, if somebody was questioning me getting into my house, depending on my mood in that particular day, I may be very kind to them, and I may not be very kind to them. Right. It could be, all I'm saying... Right. Obama won by a much larger margin than Trump did, and that would be what I would base my statement on as far as divisiveness. I don't think divisiveness is necessarily bad. It's just dividing. 855-450-3733. Free Talk Live. It's the final segment of Free Talk Live. We still may be able to sneak you in here if you call 855-450-3733. It's 855-450-FREE. Mark with you.
Deakless Mountaineer.
And Melanie.
Let's just jump right into the calls. Let's go to Rob calling in from Indiana. Rob, you're on Free Talk Live.
Never threaten anybody, but you're lucky you're still alive, Mark Edge.
That is James from Arizona, who has... been banned from the show for threatening me and my family, and he, of course, lying that he hasn't threatened them. I can play audio that would say different. Let's go to David calling in from New Mexico. David, you're on Free Talk Live. Sorry for the wait.
Yeah, so-called minister.
So-called Edgington. Minister.
Yeah, and you'll really be lucky you're still alive after I shoot you out of a cannon. Yeah. So.
Because that's good for your health.
What?
Because that's good for your health. Being shot out of a cannon.
Yeah. That's right. Get some fresh air.
Let's see the sights.
Yeah. Oh, and first of all, before my point, the gentleman in California that is homeless that got a $500 fine. If it was me, what I would do, and I would expect 99.9% success. Is I would find a telephone, call the federal court, ask them how to file motions by mail so I don't have to go to the federal courthouse, and then I would file a motion explaining my situation that I'm homeless, which means I'm indigent, and asking for explaining the circumstances, asking my $500 fine be eliminated or suspended or reduced to $25 or something like that, and you should get some sort of success unless you draw a total jerk judge. That's what I would do. So moving forward...
Well, the federal court is not going to do that for a state ticket. You're going to have to do that in state court.
He said it was feds. He said it was in the national
He did
forest.
Say it was a national forest.
Oh, a national forest. Okay, never mind then.
Yeah. So anyway, moving on, and Melanie can continue to listen because this is court-related stuff as well. And so in New Mexico, in the metro court in Albuquerque, Judge... Victor Valdez. So here's what happened: the left wants to take your guns, right? Right. And Judge Valdez, UNM graduate, law school graduate, is a Democrat, so he's on the left. And with these cases that I'm involved in for calling into a public radio station and trying to talk like I am right now, and being told that I'm not allowed to, and then having them call the cops, and then the cops writing me up for harassing them calling them on the phone during their call-in program. So I got four different charges I'm facing. One of them is before Victor Valdez in Albuquerque. And this has been going on since 2016, 4 years. And not a single judge has ordered any conditions of release. And Judge Victor Valdez in New Mexico decided that all of a sudden, after 4 years, David Olson needs some conditions of release. I can't have any firearms, I can't have any alcohol, I can't do, you know, all the standard stuff. And so I contested that, and I did a sneaky thing. In the middle of a telephonic appearance, what I said to my, I said, objection, which if you remember before, Judge Felicia Belaya Rivera got me threatened with contempt by
for saying
by,
objection.
By saying objection. But I did it again anyway in front of Valdez. He didn't threaten me in the same way. And I said, Your Honor, I need to speak with my attorney. Therefore, we need to recess for a few minutes so I can speak with my attorney, and then we can come back on the record. So that's what we did. I got on the phone with my attorney in addition to, and she's in her office. I'm at home. We're doing a telephonic court appearance. And so we're emailing, texting, and then I got her on the telephone, and I told her, and she was reluctant to do it. I had to tell her twice to do it. I told her, I want you to ask this judge if the what is the reason that you're imposing conditions of release now when it's
been 4 years later. What did the judge say?
But there's the kicker is, and I told her to make sure to ask, is it because this case is labeled with a DV prefix,
right,
meaning domestic violence? And so I insisted that she ask him that question. We go back on the record. She asked him that question, just how I phrased it to you. And the judge admits, Victor Valdez, on the record that, yes, indeedy, it's marked with a domestic violence, with a DV marking, and so therefore, you know, the firearms thing is appropriate along with, you know, whatever other stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting how you have not been convicted of doing anything wrong and you're presumed innocent and you can't have firearms. And at this point, 4 years into this, you'd think if you were going to shoot somebody, you would have done it already. But no, he wants to take that away. David, actually, there's a person who on here that wants to talk to you, so yep. I'm going to let the board up. Bring the second caller in. I don't want to mess this up.
Okay.
Dave from Area 51 calling in. Oh, looks like he dropped.
I didn't. Fascinating what you just said,
oh.
Mark. You ever listen to what you say?
There's James lying again about who he is, and David got dropped. Let's go on with this story. I do get to finish up here, USA Today, talking about us being on the United States being on the verge of a civil war. The online poll, September 23rd, has a margin of error of whatever, and it said basically that about half of Americans, 4 of 10, said that they strongly agree with the sentiment expressed that most sharply by those identifying themselves as very conservative or very liberal, that in fact there should be some kind of – that we're on the verge of a second civil war. This is the single most frightening poll result I've been associated with, said Rich Thu, president of Ignatius, one of the three firms, along with Sports and Leisure Research and ROKK Solutions, that sponsored the survey. Thau said that the partisan tensions have been bubbling below the surface or just above for some time, and that the divisions are being ruptured further by a pandemic over which both sides disagree on the severity and response, and an election in which both sides view each other as hardened combatants. And this is true. This pandemic has been a political football since the beginning. I remember the cruise ship starting, and it was beginning to be a political football at that time. So what's the consequence of that? How bad does it get, said Thau, who has been holding focus groups with battleground state voters as part of the Swing Voter Project. You've got people on the far left with guns and people on the far right with guns and an unwillingness of political elites to condemn this. People are girding themselves for something awful to happen. The poll doesn't define what a civil war would look like. Would it be armed confrontation in some areas or just widespread protests? Would it involve economic boycotts or simply family members and friends who no longer speak to each other?
It'd be nice if we could have a peaceful civil war somehow.
Right. It doesn't. I mean, family members not speaking to each other would be about as peaceful as you could get in this. But that's basically election season. There are people that are in my friendship circles that I simply do not want to speak to right now. I'll talk to them after the elections. I'll pat them on the back and I'll tell them, there, it's going to be okay. But beforehand, I do not want to see this shrillness, this ramping up that'll occur right in front of me as they get more and more wrapped up in whatever partisan bullcrap they've been watching on cable news or consuming on the internet or whatever they say about this guy or that guy being super bad. I'm not going to put up with that. Look, I talk to idiots for 3 hours a night right here. You can call. And whatever drunk moron wants to call in and talk about whatever they want, I've got to talk to them because that's what my job is. I'm not doing that in my real life for nothing. No. Hell no. I'm not inviting you over to my house so you can get all whipped up about your particular favorite crooked old pervert. Thanks, but no thanks.
Who goes to someone else's house and brings up an election in which they disagree with the person whose house it is? Who does that?
Like a lot of people these days, I'm afraid.
Why?
Because this is the most important election of our lifetimes.
That's right. As will the next election be also the most important. It's possible that every election is more important than the last election,
even going to do after this one? Like, how are you going to make the next election more important than this one?
If you haven't seen the movie Idiocracy, then you should view it. Because it is possible for it to devolve even further. I think that the best solution here is just eliminate much of the power that the federal government has. The president should be so inconsequential to all of this that it doesn't really matter. Should be a functionary, not God King for 4 years. And that's, you know, it shouldn't make a difference. In fact, I don't think it does make a difference.
That's the two things you definitely want to mix together is high time preference and unlimited power.
Yeah. Well, there you go. David Kullback. I didn't see it while I was reading the article. Anyway, thanks for thanks for listening. Check out freetalklive.com. Go there, sign up for our Telegram channel. You can sign up for our newsletter, too. It's all available to you for free at freetalklive.com.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block. And that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream, for everyone to use it in everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that's as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.